Two of the biggest public art galleries in Australia have this week become embroiled in a controversy over their purchase of allegedly stolen artefacts. The art dealer who sold them to the galleries is now on trial in India on charges relating to the theft of millions of pounds worth of antiquities sold overseas. Well, joining us now, Donna Yates, who is an antiquities expert at Glasgow University. Good morning, Donna. Thank you for coming in. You're actually an archaeologist in the criminology department, so you're completely across all of this. Is this very big business, the theft of antiquities?
It is. It's very difficult to put a price tag on the illicit trade in antiquities. But just looking at the case we're talking about, the dealer in question sold one statue to the National Gallery of Australia for over $5 million. So it's quite a big business.
So who's buying and who's looting to sell to them?
Well, these are kind of two completely separate ends of the chain. The people who are looting at the lowest level tend to be very poor people in the developing world. Those are the people actually digging things up or taking things out of temples. The buyers are some of the fanciest people in the world. They're major museums and very rich collectors. So it's kind of a very strange illicit market in that way.
But how do these antiquities then come to the market? Are there middlemen who go around picking them up?
Very much so. In this case that we're talking about, it appears as if the dealer in question selected items from temples, contacted middlemen in India to pick these particular items. They were stolen. They were trafficked out through Hong Kong, London, New York, and then off to the rest of the world. It's quite a vast network.
Yeah, to be fair, we should say that these are allegations in this
they
court
are allegations,
case.
And yes.
He denies these allegations. But more generally, the chain would be that people in some very poor areas actually find something and then they find someone to sell it to and then that's sold on up the chain.
At times, but in a lot of cases, in cases like this one, it seems to be looting to order. So somebody a bit higher up is picking items to be stolen.
Is this about private collectors or museums or who's actually buying them? And do people buy them in good faith or do you think some people buy them, some collectors buy them, knowing that they cannot possibly have a legitimate provenance?
It's about both. Museums, we would hope, buy these items in good faith to an extent, though it seems at times corners are cut when investigating provenance. Some collectors, at least in the past, it seems, have purchased items knowing that they were at least illicit. But again, there's a lot of cloudy gray area when it comes to good faith, just how much investigation should a buyer do before they buy an object, and that's a bit unclear.
But now, how do you actually go about establishing either the moral or legal right to ownership of an antiquity? How is that established?
And that's actually quite difficult because we're talking about a transnational crime. We're talking about objects moving through jurisdictions. Often you have to look at points when the item is imported. So was it imported into Australia, the US, or the UK legally or illegally? But in the case of this Indian example, we actually know these items came from temples. There's photographs of them in temples. These are just stolen goods.
So when you're defining what mustn't leave the country because of its national interest and it belongs to the country as opposed to, say, an individual temple and the sect which run that temple, how are these lines drawn up?
Well, there is a 1970 UNESCO convention on the import and export of cultural property, and a lot of countries are signatory of that, including the UK. That provides some guidelines for this. But ultimately, it comes down to the courts, and a lot of things aren't very clear in this area.
Difficult to prosecute, then?
Very difficult to prosecute, especially for items that aren't from known temples, if they're unknown items from archaeological sites that we have no record of.
And what are people paying for these things?
Well, again, in this particular case, the National Gallery of Australia paid over $5 million for one item. The warehouses of this particular dealer in the United States were raided, and the contents were valued at about $100 million. So these are quite a bit of money.
Presumably, though, some countries are better able to protect their national interest here than others.
Absolutely. And that's kind of one of the saddest bits of this, because countries in the developing world that have less ability and less money to protect their heritage sites really get hit by looting.
You're saying legally it's a minefield and very difficult to prosecute and get convictions. Is there any sense, though, now that there's a great deal more shame actually attached to buying these things than there was even 10 or 20 years ago?
I believe so. And indeed, I think shame is kind of the biggest detractor from buying illicit antiquities. In the case of the Australian example, it's been in the papers for days and there's a lot of backlash against it. It's difficult to prosecute very powerful people and museums, but shame is kind of a big
Stick.
Stick.
Donna, thanks very much indeed there. Donna Yates from Glasgow University. Thank you.